Hi, I'm Steve Clemens, and I have a question. Does the rich global north need to press reset on its relations with the much less rich global south? And fast. Let's get to the bottom line. We live in a world with two totally different realities. In the developed countries, you've got wealth, you've got technology, political stability, well, sometimes, and almost zero population growth. In the developing countries, everything's pretty much the opposite. You've got young growing populations, iffy access to capital and the latest technology, weak legal systems, and economies that have yet to find their feet. But here's the rub. Neither can the rich countries live without the poor countries, nor the poor countries live without the rich countries. That's why you hear the word sustainability popping up in the global north all the time. The northerners have figured out that their wealth can't keep growing unless they figure out major changes in the socioeconomic and political fabric of the world as we know it today. And of course, in the old days, there was no cash-rich partner besides the West to trade with. But now enter China and a few other countries, and now the developing world suddenly has other options. Today, we're taking a look at how one country, France, is approaching this challenge. We're talking with Chrysoula Zakharopoulou, the French Minister of State for Development, and before that, a member of the European Parliament. Madam Minister, thank you so much for joining us on set today. Do you think, I'm going to ask this respectfully, because I know you have such an unusual past. You were born in Greece, you have a Greek name, raised in Italy, member of the European Parliament. You're now a French minister. And it's very unusual because you have a lot of identities wrapped up
European identity.
But many nations have complicated histories, and France has a complicated history with the African continent, a colonial past. And when I talk to African leaders, it's still out there in the air. You can feel sensitivities about colonial past. Are there elements of this that explain that why France is stepping forward, that wants to create a reset with Africa? And are the African leaders you're dealing with open to that reset?
Thank you for this question. Listen, it is true that I'm very honored that President Macron chose me to make the development policy of the government, and particularly the relationship with the African continent. Mm. And as you said, the fact that I lived in three countries, the fact that I have this vision of the world helps me a lot. Mm. It is true that my country, France, has a rich history, sometimes difficult. Mm. As you said, there are some taboo, there are scars from the past. But when President Macron arrived, I have to tell you, first of all, that the relationship between France and the countries of the African continent was his priority. Hmm. So he worked a lot, and he had the courage to deal with all the question of history. That was not easy. He's the first president who did that. What this means? That he called the historians. He said that we have to make a memorial dialogue, and we see that we have now the new relationship with the Rwanda, but also all of the dialogue, memorial dialogue for Algeria, for Cameroon, and after we had something, the restitution of cultural artifacts in Benin that is unique in the world. So this is the past, but at the same time, he reset, because he said, this is the past, we cannot deny, but we have to look forward. Hmm. And this is fantastic now, because he addressed a lot to the new generation. You know very well that 70%, more or less, of the African population are young, are people under 25 years old. So he said that France is here with a new face, and that we want to create a people-to-people relationship. And we go out from aid, and we speak about partnership. We want to be partners, equal partners. And this is the new story that we create with the continent, not only with the Francophone countries, with the Anglophone countries, wherever we can create partners. And this is what I do. You know, I'm always on the field. I visit already 20 countries, and I can tell you that we changed this new narrative.
Let me ask you a complicated question here. You know, it's a little sensitive, but the new prime minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, your country you've come, has come out and said, hey, we could solve this immigrant problem if France just stopped, you know, all of its, you know, essentially its exploitation of Africa. I don't want to ask it that way. What I want to ask is, as you're out there, because you've just defined the partnership, one of the things I've been interested in is how do Africans see us? How do they see France? How do they see China? Do they see us as partners, or do they see America as maybe sometimes we're interested, sometimes we're not? Do they see China as providing an alternative? Is Europe providing, you know, a more stable thing? I'd just be really interested in the lessons that you've learned and what you can share with Americans and also Chinese that may be watching this about approaches to Africa. Because I have to tell you, there's a lot of distrust in Africa about everybody's plans for Africa. And even in Rwanda, where I interviewed President Paul Kagame, I said, yes, you all talk about Africa and African states as if they're somehow a function of the West or a function of what China is doing with the United States. We're going to lift ourselves up. And I found it very insightful. So I'd just love to get your lessons and any response you have for the Italian Prime Minister.
Yes. I'd like to say, first of all, that the relationship that I try to construct, it is a relationship of respect. Mm. And this is very important. I think that all the people that I know from the African continents, they understand. And this is true. I say to them, you are 1.4 billion of people. You are young. You have a lot of project. You are a market also. Yes, all of us, we have interest. And it's normal. We have economic interest, but also other type of interest. Like, for example, when you fight against climate change. Yes, it's a common interest. Mm. When you fight for a global health, yes. But at the same time, what I explain to them, it is how you create this relationship. What we propose as France and as Europe, it is this new partnership that is based or, if you want, I say always, there are African problem, African solution, and we are there if they want that we can support, that we can construct something together to find solution. This is what they called win-to-win. We call all of us win-to-win relationship. But it means that we have to be clear with the people, and this is what I do. Yes, we have common interest. But and what I say also to the Americans and to all, we have to respect the African continent. It is an equal partners, like all around the world. Mm. So what I have to say to Madame Meloni, I know very well Italy. I lived in Italy. I know how they, the hospitality and the open mind. So I trust the Italian people.
France is sending the signal that we have to change the social contract, if you will, between the global north and the global south. Why is this a priority of yours now? What is it President Macron doing? And are other nations hearing that call?
As you said, President Macron, from 2017, from the beginning, you know, when he was elected, for him it was very important to have this global vision, you know. When the COVID arrived, with Dr. Tedros, President Macron was in front line because he wanted to support the access to the vaccines, because he said that we don't leave nobody behind. Mm. After we had economic problems in the European level, we had the recovery plan that was about 750 billion of euros mm-hmm. In 2021. 2 years ago, he organized in Paris a summit to support the African economies. And it was in this case that we start to speak about the reallocation of SDR.
Let me pause you. This SDR, so our viewing public may not understand, they're called special drawing rights.
Exactly.
And these special drawing rights are really reserved for the big stakeholders of the institutions, right? So you're talking about the reserves of these special drawing rights. So
exactly. And at that time, we spoke about 100 billion of SDR. That means that we can reallocate. This was the new that we can reallocate, we can say, the rich country to the rest of the world. For example, France reallocate already 20%, and we're going to reallocate 30%. And there are many other countries. And we continue now to call all the countries to support this, because the Global South needs our help. And, you know, I was with him in September in New York, and he spoke about the new pact with the South. And here we are. So we are here, and in June, we are going to organize in Paris a big summit, a financial summit, where all the countries, all the institutions will be there. You know very well that the vision of President Macron is that Paris is a city of multilateralism. Mm. And we're going to organize the summit where we'll have member states from G7, G20, the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Motley, of course, but also from African countries, the low-income countries. It will be an inclusive summit, because we need, at this difficult moment, and with the war of Ukraine, and we see the consequences, the inflation, and also the question of access to energy, the question of food security, so many problems that we cannot face by ourselves. We have to face all of us together.
Well, I want to talk to you about this summit, and I also recently spoke with Barbados Prime Minister Mia Motley about her Bridgetown initiative, which I'd like to get into. But I think when you think about the challenges that are unveiling right now, and I've recently interviewed the Minister of Finance of Jordan, the Minister of Finance of Rwanda, the Minister of Finance of other developing countries as well, and the regular message I hear from them is that the big nations set the weather for the world, and they're the victims of the weather. And whether it is focused on food security, as you said, or climate expectations, Malawi having one of the largest and longest period of cyclones in its history. You go to the Bahamas and a hurricane sat on top of the Bahamas for 48 hours. Major, major costs and changes. And I understand this French initiative that President Macron is taking on. But where is the United States in this? Where is the UK? Where is the G7? Why does it take a summit in Paris to move to help some of these countries?
Listen, we live in a difficult period. As you said, we have to face an overlapping crisis. And this is difficult for all the economies, mm. and particularly for the fragile and the low-income countries. Mm. And, you know, I was here in October during the annual meetings here in Washington, mm. and the American push for this reform of the World Bank and all of the G7 countries. And we see now that we understood, all of us, that there's no time to lose. It's time for action. Mm. Because you spoke about climate change. We know very well, if I take the example of Africa, they blame us, the rich countries. They say that you live your life, but the pollution from our continent, it's only 3%. So you have to help us, because if we have to face the climate change. And we have to invest on adaptation, mitigation. We need money. And this is why this is a very important meeting here. And I think that is the first time that concretely all the stakeholders agree, but we have to move on. So this year is very important because we start here, but after, you know, we are going to have the G7 meeting, after we are going to have the Paris summit, G20, the evaluation of the SDGs in September, after Marrakesh and COP28. So the question is that in every step, including Paris, we have to go forward and to deliver. Because every time when you go to a COP28, for example, the question is that we cannot create every time a new fund. This is not the solution. We have optimized already the money that we have. And of course, United States, we know that they took engagement, but after the question is because of the political system that we promised the question of the SDR, the question of the climate finance that we have to give about $100 billion of dollars. But we know that here the Congress blocked. So it is also for me an opportunity to say to the Congress, please, we need your help.
You know, at the, one of the interesting things that I've talked to development leaders from finance, central bank governors, but even heads of government from global South nations, many in Africa, but not only Africa, and they're looking for relief now. The urgency that they feel that is being ignored is really substantial. They say, we're living through a storm now. And so the Bridgetown Initiative, which Prime Minister Motley and Rajiv Shah, the president of the Rockefeller Foundation, have written a piece in Foreign Affairs magazine about this. And to me, it has three parts. And I apologize, folks, I'm going to get it wrong. But you know, three parts. One, we need relief now on debt, debt servicing, and interest rates. Part two is we need access to loans that somebody buying a house can get a loan for 30 years. Their loans are marked for 7 years or 10 years or 12 years. They don't have the length of time. So they need new loan instruments at low interest rates rather than these 5%. And the third thing is, we were talking earlier about Gavi, that there are these initiatives around there that solve some of the public goods problems in the world, like we were doing with COVID and vaccines. But there are other public goods problems. If we did these three things, it would change the picture for the developing world, for the Global South substantially. Do you think those are doable in June at the Paris summit for a new global financial pact?
I think that what is going to happen in June, and I hope it is that we will have a declaration, a political declaration. This is very important. It's not a question also of finance. It is a political will. And what is going to happen in Paris, there are already four working groups and they are working together. There is the question of debt. You know very well, if I take the example of African countries from Zambia, Ghana, and other countries, they cannot afford. The debt is huge. A second issue that we're going to discuss is the role of the private sector. You know, the public money, they cannot change the world, but they can be the guarantee of the risking. So the private sector has to come and has to be involved. If, of course, it's not enough, what about the innovative mechanism of finance, philanthropy? They have all of us. They have to participate because it's not possible.
Let me also ask you about the IMF and the World Bank. These are Bretton Woods institutions created after World War II, and they've largely been in place for over 70 years. I mean, they're been kind of the pathway. Are they broken? Are they flawed? Do they need to be reformed?
They have to be reformed. This is a new century, 21st century. We have so many challenges. The world is changed. We're about 8 billion of people. The world is changed and we can see. So, yes, everybody wants to be part of this new history. And I think that also these institutions are there to serve us and not the opposite. So, yes, it's the time to change.
And finally, do you see China, which has become a topic of great focus in the United States?
Yes.
But these are international institutions. China is a major stakeholder and shareholder of these institutions. Do you see China playing a responsible role in these discussions? Will China be welcome at the June meetings that you host in Paris? Is China being frozen out, or is it being included in these conversations on global development?
We have a responsibility to engage China, because China is part of the solution. Mm. Just I was speaking about the debt. When I go in Africa, for example, and we speak with many colleagues, the question of debt, if we want to resolve, China must be part of the solution. Mm. Or when we fight against climate change, China must be part of the solution. So, yes. We have all our responsibility.
Let me ask you one last question, Madam Minister, and this has been a very fun conversation. One of the other things that irritates African leaders, while they are not happy that Ukraine was invaded, mm-hmm. They feel like they're being invaded by climate, by poverty, by water shortages. And there was a fast tracking, I think this number is right, of about $25 billion of aid and loans to Ukraine, really pushed overnight. And for the entire African continent, it was about $8 billion. And it was slow. And they feel in the process of priorities of the rest of the world like they are systemically neglected. And the Ukraine situation is for them evidence of that. How do you feel?
I'm very clear on that. And I said also when I was in the DRC, or I go to Sahel. Mm. For France, there are not double standards. Mm. And in my mission, my portfolio, for example, we increased the development finance. And I called also the private French sector to be part and to invest in Africa. So no. In my country, and for President Macron, as I told you, there are not double standards.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. Krissoula Zakharopoulou, France's Minister of State for Development, thank you so much for being
thank
with
you.
Us today and for your candor.
Thank you very much.
So what's the bottom line? It's hard to imagine that the rich countries of the G7, some of them former colonial powers where notions of superiority run really deep in their national DNA, are suddenly going to change their behavior and start giving developing nations real support. Plus, there's always been a brewing anger in the developing countries who just can't get enough breathing room and are being crippled by debt. The Global North claims to care about developing countries and tells them we care, but honestly, the cards are stacked against the nations of the Global South who can't succeed because the system is biased against them and they're constantly being set up for failure. Now, President Macron is convening world leaders to press reset on relations with the South. So maybe there's a little movement, maybe not enough for hope, but at least to wait and see. And that's the bottom line.